everybody, and welcome back to the Enterprise Dish, where I like to think that every episode is special, but I think today's episode might do it, because not only do we have ducks today, we have my other good friend. Whoop, on that side, we got ducks and Mary Jo. I believe the word on the street here, Mary Jo, is that you were baited in with alcohol and tater tots. Can you confirm or deny these rumors?
I will confirm the rumors.
Yeah.
I'm easily bought.
Yeah, I have to catch up with Mary Jo and all the latest brews and microbrews that she's sharing, you know. Apparently there's a big revolution going on in New York City with microbreweries.
There is.
There's a lot of good stuff going on, especially in the enterprise world. Nice to swing
it. Segue. Look at that.
Look at that pendulum swinging right back. Although only because I know if I start talking about tater tots, my lunch here in about 2 hours is going to involve them. Just to kick things off here at the top of the show, Ducks, you were at Inspire last week. Mary Jo and I, unfortunately, our invites got lost in the mail and then tossed in the shredding bin because we were no longer invited. But Ducks, can you just give us a recap? What was it like? What was Tech Ready like? What was going on?
Sure. So this year was a little bit different. I guess that's why you guys weren't there. But they combined Inspire and Microsoft Ready. So Inspire is the big partner conference that Microsoft would have every year, and then they combined their internal sales kickoff, which is Microsoft Ready. So they did have joint events. So for example, Wednesday's Corner with Satya Nadella brought in Microsoft folks and partners, and then obviously the big show with Bruno Mars with about 30,000-40,000 people in 110 degree weather. Go figure that out. But overall, I think it was a phenomenal event. And it was the message around the growth of the cloud, as we saw with the earnings, and Microsoft's continued push and innovation around driving more of the advanced workloads, hence the intelligent cloud, intelligent edge push.
And Ducks, there's been a video floating around. No surprise. If you know Ducks, Ducks is not one to be shy by any accounts. But Ducks, can you explain to me why you were dancing and singing on a stage?
Yeah, so listen, actually I sang twice.
sorry for the incorrect fact, they're twice.
That's right. I gotta be clear. I think the video pertaining to was a session I did. I did a presentation on how to be a rock star public speaker. So the whole idea of the session was to teach partners, and when they pitch, when they present, how to grab audience attention. And then essentially I talked to them about the five steps to do it, from planning to interactive delivery, on how they open the session, how they facilitate engagement, and how they close the session. And then towards the end, right, I ask everybody, so look, what do you guys think of these five steps? Are you guys ready to do it? They're like, yeah, of course we're ready. So I said, are you sure? They go, yeah. Okay, if you're sure, stand up and I'll show you these five steps. So I show them the steps to the greatest and latest challenge online, which is the In My Feelings challenge. So I had them do the Kiki.
That is that is impressive. And how many people do you think were participating in this?
A couple hundred. It was awesome. It was a sight to be seen with a bunch of Microsoft partners and geeks doing, you know, the Kiki with me.
That is...
Hey, I can teach you guys if you want, maybe for another episode.
Maybe another time.
Or not Inspire, Ignite.
Ignite.
Oh, yeah. Ignite. Absolutely. We'll do it, Ignite.
We can up that from a couple hundred to maybe a couple thousand. Although I suspect that we will probably need more tater tots and alcohol to get Paul and Mary Jo, but we will make it happen.
Hey, people would pay for that, right?
There we go. New business ideas springing up here right on the Enterprise Dish. But moving on here. So you guys are probably all aware, but there was a pretty big announcement yesterday. Mary Jo, you did a wonderful job covering it because my water heater decided to explode all over my basement.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yikes.
All good. No major damage, just more of a pain in the butt of replacing it. But during me standing in water and dragging hot buckets of water to the sink, Microsoft basically launched all of their kind of Office Suite 2019. Is that correct?
Well, you know, I think that was the plan, was to launch them all at once and be like, ta-da, here's the Office Server previews. But what actually happened was the Exchange Server and Skype for Business Server previews launched, and the SharePoint one didn't until several hours later. And then Project Server, I don't think, is still out yet. So it's a little more staggered than perhaps they would like to have had happen.
So would you call this the classic Microsoft launch then, where things didn't exactly go to plan, but you know what, here we are.
Well, I don't know if you guys noticed a few weeks ago when they announced the free Teams.
Yeah.
It came out and then it didn't come out and then it came out again.
Right. Yep. Same thing.
Yeah. There was there's definitely a lot going on. But to unpack some of this, so let's just kind of get this out of the way. If you guys had to guess, just throwing random dates out there with no insider information, when did you guys think this is going to launch?
October.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you can look at past trend, right? Ignite is a big milestone for Microsoft.
Right.
So it should be very close to around the Ignite timeframe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of good stuff here. And Dux, I'm going to be curious. We can just kind of walk through some of them. Like I said, Mary Jo did a great write-up. You can check that out at allaboutmicrosoft.com, which should always be on your bookmarks. But Exchange Server 2019, Ms. Foley, correct me if I'm wrong, we said this is adding updated search that is powered by Bing. And updating calendar features, including Do Not Forward and simplified calendar sharing. Does that sound about right?
It does. Yep.
That is.
So, you know, like all of these servers, the goal is to bring to people who are using on-premises versions of the product some, but not all of the features that are in the cloud versions. So, you know, these guys have on Exchange haven't had an update for 3 years, basically, since 2016, 2 years, really. Mm. So they're going to start seeing features that already have been showing up to those who use Office 365. So a lot of people are like, wait, they already have this. But if you're using on-prem, you don't already have these things.
Dux, here's a question for you. Mm-hmm. Do you, and obviously you're not going to know exact numbers here, but do you have a size or a feel for how many people are still running Exchange Server?
I think there's... there's a lot, and I know it's kind of broad, but I can think of the enterprise world, for example, especially folks in the highly regulated industries, government, healthcare, financial services. In fact, I have a couple of customers. They do have Office 365 investment, but they're keeping their email on-prem. So, you know, these are government agencies, defense agencies, and whatnot. So it's still a sizable chunk, and I'm only speaking primarily North America. We haven't even looked at folks in other parts of the world.
Would you say it's fair to assume that that's probably accurate for just about all of these products? And I would imagine, I mean, if somebody's running Exchange Server, they're not going to be running Exchange Server and then something else that's in the cloud. Would that be accurate?
100%. So from Exchange Server, Skype Server, SharePoint Server, even Project Server. And I think the story that's compelling with Microsoft is, look, we have options and choices regardless of what setup you have or what constraints you have. But at the same time, I think what's really cool is it's not one or the other. They have the hybrid story. So like the Skype Server release, they will have integration with Teams, which is really good because there may be parts of the organization that can certainly use it.
Very cool. And then that's a nice segue here because the next item up is Skype Business Server. Mary Jo, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is kind of believed to be the last Skype Business Server. Does that make sense?
You know, they have not actually said that. And I would love to get Dux's take on this because I had a lot of people yesterday saying, so this is it. This is the end of the line for the on-prem servers, right? And Microsoft has said to me when I've asked about this, you know what? We're going to listen to what customers say because if there are a lot of people after we rev this in 3 years who are still running on-prem and still need on-prem, we're going to do another one.
Yes. I agree with Mary Jo. I think because of the demand and customer needs, there's always going to be that group of customers that for regulatory reasons, compliance reasons, security reasons, they can't go to the cloud for mission critical platforms like email, instant messaging. So, you know, while a lot of us may think it's a last server, personally, I don't think that's the case. I think what Microsoft will do is more integrations with cloud-based technologies that they can't bring down. I mean, one good example is Azure, right? Because of customers' needs and requirement, Azure Stack, if you think about Azure Stack, that's an on-prem technology that just talks to Azure.
Yeah. You know what I could see them doing, and I'm just making this up right now, but here's a theory. What if they do another version of Exchange Server and Skype for Business Server and SharePoint Server, but they start making it a subscription product? right? So they have it on-prem, but you pay for it like it is a subscription. I could see them doing that.
I feel like you just got a promotion at Microsoft.
Well, actually, that's a good point. For us, for example, we do have products on-premises, hybrid, in the cloud, but our licensing is pure subscription. Mm-hmm. To us, it's easier for our customer. So if one day they decide, you know what, major decision change, we're now going to go full SaaS, they're still going to pay the same for the same features and same product set. And that makes it easier for everybody.
That's actually a really interesting point then, because for Microsoft's goal, which they would love every single customer to be in the cloud, some of that contention point is the price. It's like, look, we've already bought this license and we've got it for 3 years or whatever, 10 years left, and we're not going to the cloud because then we're going to be duplicate paying.
Yeah.
So the next kind of obvious question here, and I know the answer, but we always get these kind of questions. Actually, it came up yesterday after this announcement came out. Mary Jo, there's no Teams server here.
Yeah. Will there ever be one? I bet not.
I don't think so either.
Because what would that even look like, right? Like, how could you do that?
I agree, because on one hand, right, Teams is being pit head-to-head with Slack. Functionally, and some of the basic capabilities are the same. But if you look at the guts of Teams, it's a conglomeration, I don't know if that's even a word, of a bunch of different technologies, from OneDrive to SharePoint and Planner, and you can add a whole lot of stuff. So, yeah, I don't think that's, unless they build something else, Teams the way it is now, I don't think that's even doable.
Me neither, because it's like, it's a service, really, right? I mean, and a lot of these products that are coming out in on-prem form, what the parts they don't have that are comparable to Office 365 are things that you have to do in the cloud, right? So with Teams, like, what would it look like if it was a disconnected server?
Now, the one interesting thing, if they could do, though, is, for example, Teams today relies on SharePoint Online for the Teams site. But what if there's a capability for the customer to choose that instead of SharePoint Online for my Teams site in Teams, use SharePoint on-prem, right? Mm. The same with OneDrive. So in Teams, if you do chat and I share one-on-one chat and I share files, the file lives in OneDrive in Office 365. But what if I can choose, I want it to live in OneDrive on-premises, since OneDrive is available in SharePoint on-prem. So I think those minor tweaks can actually help their case.
Interesting. Dux, do you think that there is, I mean, obviously Microsoft is putting a lot of effort into Teams, trying to grow that product at all aspects. Do you think there actually is a sizable market for Teams potentially totally on-prem?
I don't think so, because if you're seeing the landscape of how extensible they want Teams to be. So for example, I'm sure you guys saw this, you know, obviously modern workplace, Microsoft 365, Teams is a big, big push. But another big push is in the area of first-line workers. So Teams is front and center for this first-line worker, which it comes down to their F1 SKU. And now the way it's being messaged, it seems like there's going to be hooks into more business-focused solutions. So examples, right? So let's say, I don't know, your expense system or your HR system suddenly would show up on Teams. So for people in first-line workers, or frankly, anybody in the enterprise, they could just put their PTO directly in Teams. So it's beyond the productivity, the collaboration story. And with that being said, it's much harder to bring that whole, you know, fold into an on-prem world, because it requires a lot of skill set. It requires a lot of other investments.
Interesting. So would it be fair to say that this is where we really start to see the limitations of cloud versus on-prem? I mean, this is like a perfect scenario of what you just outlined.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, a lot of people in the past would think, oh, cloud, it saves us money, saves us storage, you know, we run these basic servers. But now we're looking at more advanced workloads. You know, don't even, you know, let's not even talk about cognitive services, AI, and all this, but connectivities like this, it's impossible unless you're flush with money to build up not only the infrastructure, but the resources to take care of it. It's not doable on-prem.
I think it's also a carrot too, right? Like, how do you get customers to go to the cloud? They're using on-prem, and then you're like, you know what? If you wanted to use Teams, though, might be, you know, gateway drug to the cloud for the customer.
question for you, Mary Jo. Since we're on the topic of Teams, obviously at Inspire, Microsoft announced the free iteration of Teams. I'm curious on your take on this, if you actually think that's going to move the needle, or what are you hearing about this free Teams? Like, are customers happy, or do you think people are going to dive on this?
You know, I think everybody was excited about the idea when it came out, and they're like, wow, okay, good. Here's what they were missing compared to the free tier of Slack. But then you start talking to people like, so do you need a free version of Teams? Like, are you going to jump on the bandwagon? And I haven't really heard a bunch of people saying, I'm all in, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's because it lacks features they need. I mean, it's pretty generous with the number of users and how many chats I think you can have within the product. But I feel like they've kind of got a core audience with Teams, which are Office 365 users. So I'm curious, who isn't an Office 365 user who might want to use Teams? Like, who are these people, right? Yep.
And I would have to think that any sizable company is already going to be in an Office 365. So it's not like the large enterprises of the world are just going to be like, oh, we can now use Teams because it's free. So it's only targeting very small
SMBs,
companies.
SMBs, right?
Yeah. Who don't have Office 365 but want some of the functionality that don't want to pay. And it just kind of, it's like a real, I'm happy they did it. Don't get me wrong. I think it was the smart and correct move by all means. But it just feels like it's out there. It's now. It's done. But I don't see this moving the needle. Like, next month, there's going to be 300,000 companies using this thing.
Yeah. For me, I think there's two general target audience. One is, like you said, is for those SMBs or smaller companies that's all in G Suite or Google, the free ones, right? So there's that. And then the second, in a weird way, is reverse shadow IT. There's still pockets of large organizations there that's not all in Microsoft. I can think of a couple organizations. But then now you may have, you know, small business units or even small IT shops starting jumping on this free Teams, and then, you know, suddenly it goes viral within the organization. And now they realize, oh, man, we need Office 365, right? So it's kind of like the reverse shadow IT story, where Microsoft is the shadow IT tool people are using. My last point around that is, I haven't seen, or maybe I'm just so entrenched in the Microsoft world, I haven't seen any focused go-to-market or any type of, you know, very targeted messaging to the Google audience, which I think, or the Slack audience for that matter, trying to draw them in to use Teams.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, it'll be just one of those things that we can just watch and see how it matures and see what, if you are out there using the free iteration of Teams, I'd actually honestly love to know your feedback, and please don't hesitate to reach out, because I'd just be curious about the usage case scenario there. So moving on here, Dux, to something I know that is probably very near and dear to your hair. Near and dear to your heart.
My hair.
Your hair.
Your hair.
I just keep looking at, I keep looking at how dapper he is. I mean, look at him.
I know.
Look, I'm in Washington, D.C., and I have a meeting with a customer today, so I got to act the part, right?
Totally. That's the same thing. When I go golfing, I get dressed up in very nice golf clothes, and then I slice the ball very deep into the woods. But at least I look and act the part right before I totally bomb the scenario. But SharePoint Server 2019 coming out. What's your hot take here, Dux?
SharePoint Server 2019. So I'm excited about it, obviously, and I think they're, you know, innovations where they brought a lot of the cloud features down on premises. So things like communication sites, hub sites, and more integrated story with hybrid scenarios. I mean, they did it already in 2016, where you can, you know, have SharePoint Server 2016 on prem, but bring in things like OneDrive, use groups and stream and all that. And I think they're just expanding that story further. So to what Mary Jo mentioned earlier, right, to me, what you'll see in SharePoint Server 2019, if you've been using SharePoint Online, not a lot of new stuff, but for on-premises, people can enjoy the capabilities people have been using SharePoint Online.
Very cool. And Mary Jo, I got to ask you this question. I can't even remember, I think on-prem would do this. We were both there at Build when Microsoft started talking about VR and AR in SharePoint. Do you have any opinions on the matter?
SharePoint Spaces.
SharePoint Spaces.
I think it's weird. I think it's trying to find a more of a use case for HoloLens. Maybe someday, if HoloLens doesn't look like this weird headset and it's actually more like Google Glass, it might be more interesting for people to put that on in a meeting or have it on in a meeting and do things, you know, while you're in a conference room. Mm-hmm. But right now, I feel like it's kind of a solution in search of a problem.
Do you agree or disagree there, Dux?
I agree. So listen, I think it's a bold move. It's an innovative move for Microsoft, and I think a lot of their technologies would start that way. Will it hit critical mass today? No. There may be certain use cases. I know a company called Contoso who's all over it.
I've heard they're really big into the use of the HoloLens.
And they're so perfect, right? Like all the pictures and videos looks like it's a perfect company to work for. But other than that, it's not going to hit critical mass. Or I haven't heard of a customer I spoke with saying, "Hey, when can I get them SharePoint spaces?" So,
yeah, I mean that sounds about par for the course. And then wrapping it up here on the backside of this major announcement from Microsoft yesterday, Project Server 2019 coming out for those of you who are using that task application. This will obviously be a pretty substantial update, actually, because of all the collaboration abilities that they're adding in with SharePoint. And it feels like everything we mentioned now touches SharePoint.
Yeah.
You
know, SharePoint is a new file share.
Yeah.
Wow. That's bold. Yeah, I was going to say bold statement by Dux over there. He puts on a suit and he starts blowing our minds.
No, in a good way. In a good way, right? Like, look, Teams, touching SharePoint, everything, Stream. Oh, no, maybe not Stream. Mm-hmm. But all the other stuff, frankly, a few years ago, I was at an event and they're talking about SharePoint as the enterprise content fabric. That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So it's that content layer, regardless if it's a file, if it's a news, if it's a project task, it sits on SharePoint.
That is Mary Jo, do you remember what the last number was that they quoted? Was it 200,000 companies or something like that using SharePoint? I know it's a large business for Microsoft.
What the last number was, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know, Brad, one of these days we should get like Jeff Tepper to come on this show.
Oh, that would be amazing.
He would be.
And you know what? I bet he would do it. He's that guy.
Oh, yeah. He's a cool guy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's all over the SharePoint Saturday stuff that's going on. If you're not familiar with that, just go look SPS on Twitter. Just use the hashtag because these things are happening all around the country. I actually went to the one in Cincinnati here a couple years ago. Mm. And he's the man. I mean, he's done a good job.
Yeah, a little trivia. He was telling me that for some reason, SharePoint has the most loyal and biggest tech following in the whole Microsoft ecosystem. It's like Jimmy Buffett's parrot head, you know? It's like all this passion and
that's
love.
That's an analogy right there.
Yeah.
I think that's true. You always hear about other products being like, oh, we want to be like SharePoint. We want to have SharePints and we want to have a little flying monkey mascot and we want to have all like the inside jokes, right, that those guys have. So, yeah, I think there is a weird, awesome camaraderie around the SharePoint community. For sure.
You think it has anything to do with the dark days of SharePoint when it was, for a while there, everybody, it wasn't too hot, maybe a decade ago. It was kind of the Lotus Notes of collaboration, but now it's the new hot jam inside of Microsoft because it's resilient. It doesn't go away.
Yeah, I feel like when Tepper came back to run that team, he re-energized it and kind of get things back on track. They kind of gotten off track a little when it got mushed in with OneDrive Consumer, and he came back and fixed it up, I think.
Yep. The only thing I'm still waiting for, not to drive on down to the consumer bent, is that be able to buy more storage, because as a friendly reminder, I am almost out of OneDrive storage and I don't have any extra. And so Microsoft,
that's so weird. You can't buy more storage.
You can't? You could.
Not for consumer.
Not for consumers, right?
So you've maxed out 1 terabyte?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's all like it's all photos of and videos of my kid.
Sure.
And so that's the backup. And now I'm actually slowly moving over to Google Photos just because it's unlimited, and unlimited in quotations. But yeah, that's the one.
Because I know, like in iCloud, you can keep buying right as much as you want.
Oh. Microsoft is yet again making it hard for me to give them money, which is.
You're not the only one. People complain about this constantly.
Yeah. Yep.
It's odd.
Yeah. So as we wrap it up here, Ms. Foley, any kind of thoughts on the matter about all these Exchange Skype, SharePoint, Project, anything else you're thinking is going to come up here in the next, I don't know, second half of the year, big sky, blue sky, whatever you want to call it, type thinking with this office jazz?
You know, the one thing I think people need to remember is, so Microsoft also is doing on-premises version of the client versions too. So there's Office 2019 for Windows, Office 2019 for Mac. And if you are somebody who currently is on Office 2016, you got to be thinking already about upgrading to this if you want to keep the on-prem version, because you're not going to be able to connect to the Office 365 services once your product is no longer being supported. So you have to kind of keep that in mind, that is going to happen sooner rather than later. So you can't just sit back and say, hey, I'm going to just stay on 2016. If you need to connect back to the Office 365 backend services, you're going to need to go to Office 2019.
Serious sage advice right there. Dux, you got anything else before you go out and land the big contract or whatever you're heading to do?
No, I think all these new technologies are good. And unlike the trepidation customers would typically have with a new version, rest assured, these technologies have been tried and tested in the cloud. So it's not really new. Mm-hmm. They brought down the capability and technology. So you don't have to wait for Service Pack 1, I can confidently say, to start deploying. So consider these new technologies. And then second, also as you consider, think about what your migration strategy is. I got to throw that in, Brad. So.
No, I mean, I think it's a fair, very fair point. I mean, if you're not thinking about it today, you're probably going to start thinking about it too late. And nobody wants to be left behind, especially in this very competitive world that we live in. But folks, that really just wraps it up for today. Obviously, we thank Mary Jo for joining us and Dux for joining us. And hopefully you got some out of this. And make sure to keep subscribing and liking the comments and all that good stuff. And we appreciate everybody tuning in. And we'll catch you right back here next time.
Bye.
Bye.